You're listening to the State of Play, quick fire round of all things Irish football and beyond. The FAI, are they going to delay Stephen Kenny's successor again? Plus, the Republic of Ireland move up, shoot up in the rankings by 2 points to 60th. Plus, we talk about when Jason McAteer had a Macedonia 27 years ago this week. Stay tuned, it's the State of Play. David Dunn here, joined by Martin Prendergast. As always, if you like what you see, love what you hear, hit that subscribe button, scan that QR code, and head over to our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Plus, we do have our website back up and running, and that is lansdownroar.ie. That's lansdownroar.ie if you want opinion. And my God, if you go over there, you'll get it. We got James, we got Nick, we got Bill, we got Connor. Two Connors, actually. Better than one. And yeah, head over there to lansdownroar.ie. Now, let's get into it. Martin, how are you doing? Looking very... Is that a Man United top you're wearing? Are you wearing a Man United top on my show?
I am, yeah. This is the kind of the little golfing range. This is a bit subtle, I think. It is a kind of...
Something,
just a red devil on it, you know. But I was going to say, you know, I wouldn't go full kit wanker and buy a shirt anymore, a Man United shirt, certainly. So, although I still buy the Island one, of course, resplendent in advertising the sky now, of course. Yeah, it's a bit bazoony bluish as well. And I do like that kind of day, as you know. I brought that into the Irish thing, but it's a bit more subtle to go, but a bit older now and a bit of an older gentleman, Dave. So, that's when I kind of wear that kind of stuff. And I do feel very old, as we're going to talk about now, 27 years ago.
27 years ago, coming up later on the program, when McAteer was Kung Fu Fight. Now, I better not sing that because I'll probably get like an email from YouTube saying you can't monetize this because you sang like two bits of a chorus. Still not happy over that. You know, I get pinged by YouTube, like, you can't hear me, me. This goes against our. Oh, leave off, will you? Stand up for the little.
Leave
guy.
It ill. What? Do you think like a Dublin accent? Like, you know, do you go leave it ill? Ah, leave it ill.
Wow.
No, you know, you hear that. You never heard
yes, I know, Martin. Don't pretend.
The women on the market streets and stuff, isn't it?
2 for €.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Are you?
Do you have them now? Do we have them at Lansdowne Road now, leaving the stadium?
We do. Oh, yeah. Of course we do. You know, they're scattered, you know, down by Lansdowne Lane and all that. Yeah, you still got a few. Yeah. Not as many as you have. Anyway.
It's a dying trade. It's a dying trade, sadly.
Yeah, that's what legality will do, unfortunately. I'm sure they have a license. I mean, they're in front of the guard, so I'd imagine they have a license anyway. Right, let's move on because we don't want to offend the fine tradespeople of Dublin and beyond. I suppose there's only one place to start. On Sunday, when we did our live episode, which is available in the archives, head over to YouTube, Lansdowne Road YouTube, cheeky subscribe and like and all that happy stuff. Basically, it was announced that day that the FAI were going to announce Stephen Kenny's successor on the 12th of April. Now, I don't know where he got it from, probably more conjecture, but that was sort of the rumour being bandied about. Well, it turns out that actually that might not be the case at all. And in fact, it might be further delayed towards the back end of April. We're going to go to the 30th of April, actually. We're going to go here to the Sun, the Irish Sun here. But Irish Ire, this is from Owen Couser. FAI irritate Ireland supporters with latest clue as to when next manager will finally be appointed. There is no white smoke in the search of the new Ireland manager with no FAI board meeting on the books before April 30th. Just read a little bit more into it. Bear with me. But while that led to hopes of an appointment by next week after the Women's International window, the board, which must ratify any new hire, has not been put on notice. The 14-person committee who will make the decision were last week told by Canham and under pressure CEO Jonathan Hill that the process is ongoing. But there's also been no movement towards a conclusion with the calling of a required board meeting. So April 30th, Martin, that's apparently going to be the next white smoke day, so to speak. That's to do with the Pope, Martin, by the way, just in case you want you know, over there in secular England, where I am actually. So what do you make of that? So apparently not going to be the 12th, the 30th, if you are to believe that. Or maybe they could just call an emergency board meeting.
I think that's what they will do eventually. They'll call emergency board meeting. I wouldn't read too much into it, to be honest. I think I don't know why they keep labeling putting dates on it. We don't need to. They're putting themselves under pressure by putting the dates there. You know, it's just like it's just keeping all the kind of gossip and speculation going. And you know, even you know, Gus Poyet, you know, is he now available? Does he want the job? Is he flirting with us because he wants an improved job with Greece? I think that's the case, to be honest. I don't think he's genuinely a candidate at all.
Yeah.
I think it happened if Ireland really wanted him now. What I do think is very unfair on this, though, is this, because everyone's going, oh, look, just announced John O'Shea, and people are pissed off with it. I think it's bringing a lot of negativity to the John O'Shea ticket in a way, which I think is very unfair. And
why do you think it's bringing negativity to the John O'Shea ticket?
Because the FAI's incompetency in appointing someone is, you know, if they don't get their man now, you know, I think we would have settled for Carsley. Okay, we knew the reasons maybe why. And then we were kind of accepting to John O'Shea's had a go. He's done okay. You know, the players are all positively receiving his kind of way of doing things. I thought we come across very well. Of course, we've spoken about that previously. They haven't made the appointment of John O'Shea, though. So they've missed out on Carsley, we believe. Now they're just dragging it on. So he's clearly not even really in the picture. I think if he gets it now, the whole thing will be, well,
that's what I've been saying.
Of not looking at him.
But that's what I've been saying, like, from the beginning of all this. Actually, I wrote an article about it ages ago, saying it was Carsley or bust. You know, the way this is sort of dragged out back then, I think this was like January. I wrote that article and I thought, you know, if you're going to announce Neil Lennon, excuse me, if you're going to announce Chris Coleman, these types of characters, it's going to look really, really bad. Like, this is, you know, this is it. This is your future pathway for international football. And of course, Carsley now has put himself out. I mean, is it a case? I want to wait until the end. I want to see the conclusion before I pass judgment. And I know everyone's putting the boot into the FAI. You just did it yourselves there. Just saying, you know, just saying there. Martin, you know, I love the FAI, but Martin's put his boot in there. But it does seem to look, unless he's going to pull out a massive ace out of his sleeve or wherever, Mark Adam, it does seemingly look like they don't really know what's going on. And I hope that's not the case. I hope by the time we get to April 12th or 30th or whenever it's going to be, that they go, oh, we got this guy. And you go, oh, okay, that makes sense. I still believe that it will be Chris Hughton or John O'Shea. I still have this weird feeling it's going to be Chris Hughton.
I think it will still be announced around the 12th. I think they'll wait for these two women's games to be finished, playing France and England this week. They will wait for that to finish. They won't overshadow it. Then they'll be obviously convening a board meeting, I suppose, and that the Canham and Hill will be together because they'll obviously reflect on the success of the women's camp. I think they do that after every kind of international kind of window. And I think it's quite simple to get the board together. They should surely have the names or people they've spoken to and have been declaring that to the board. And basically they should be, you know, agreeing it with John O'Shea or saying Chris Hughton. I don't think, you know, the contractual terms of potential candidates was something referenced previously. That must have been with certain candidates. I think one of those must have been Gus Poyet because he was still involved in the Euros. We don't have anything now to sway against that. I would hope Chris Hughton's contractual stuff's finished as well. I just think it's just getting a bit of a mess. Like, we were praising the FAI for not letting lots of leaks go out, but they keep naming these dates. And then what's happening now is just speculation. That's kind of the leaky stuff. If they had said, we're going to appoint someone by the game for June, this stuff would all be leaking out. Oh, well, we're speaking to people, and it's contractual with them. And, oh, John O'Shea had a go, and maybe him. I don't know.
The whole thing, though, with Gus Poyet, people are saying it was Gus Poyet. I don't know if it was or not. I mean, why would you know?
Yeah, but it has been confirmed that he did speak to him. They spoke to him, didn't they? That seems to have been kind of accepted now, isn't it?
But would you put all your eggs in the Gus? Yeah, what I mean is, right, imagine, I mean, and if it is the case, sweet Lord help us, but imagine, right, imagine you're a director of football or technical director, and you're waiting for which one, Sagnol or Poyet, which one of these guys to fail. I'm going to play them. And then Sagnol, of course, Georgia goes through in penalties. Greece were dreadful in that game. And then you go, all right, yeah, it's going to be Payet. Listen, you've just failed miserably as Greece manager. You've got Georgia handy enough draw, really. You know, if you're any way worth your salt, you should be doing the business against Georgia, one of those lesser teams. And you failed miserably there. You were dreadful. I think they were down to 10 men as well. Would you like the Ireland job? But we're not going to pay, you know, you can't bring your son with you or however. I'm not saying that's what happened, but that's kind of what you led to believe. That would, if that is the case, that has come out. I don't know. I can't see any self-respecting technical director, because, you know, if you were to say that, and then you let's say you do that and then you unveil Gus Poyet. Oh, yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. That would be, you'd just be embarrassing yourself. You'd be embarrassing the association. I can't see it being Gus Poyet. I think it's going to be Chris Hughton. I think the reason why they're saying nothing, the FEI, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, because apparently they won't talk about it, is that they're like, ah, that's lovely, because the real person we have, we're tying up, nobody knows, and we're saying nothing. We're letting these guys kind of go out of their minds a little bit, and then when it comes to today, it's like, da-da, here he is. And, you know, it could be as well with this delay, like, it's just, well, hold on, we look in the calendar, there's no board meeting till the 30th. That means nothing. You could do it over a Zoom call.
Yeah, but that's guesswork of journalists, isn't it? Desperate to kind of find answers. Yeah, and you're looking into that. I mean, I think, again, the deadlines and what has been, you know, I suppose you have to kind of base it on what the FAI have actually revealed. And they're the ones who've said, oh, look, it's a contractual thing. It's when Mark Canham and Jonathan Hill have kind of issued a soundbite, basically, to press and, yep, we're thinking of this as a board meeting. And then even the guys, Paul Cook, leaving the last board meeting saying, yep, we've had positive talks and we're going to get the right person and things like that. They're going to get criticism, whatever happens now. Delays.
I mean, like, if it is Chris Hughton, right? We'll get behind him. Of course, we'll get behind him and we hope for the best. It'd be stupid not to. But I'd go, not really for me, but okay, he's a manager. Fair enough. That's who you're going with. And fair play to you guys, because you know what? You kept that one quiet. You really did keep that one quiet. I go, right, fair enough. Wow. Forget what I was going to say there.
I would think, though, it's you, and I think they had you and Carsley, O'Shea probably as a backup. You know, I think the first round of interviews where they spoke to Steve Bruce and Lennon, and Coleman, even, you know, that was all being drip fed through. So they must have had a first round of interviews or chat.
You've got to have your backups
through. Yeah, that's all come through and been revealed. We had the speculation about Roy Keane perhaps getting the interim thing. That would have put bums on seats, but I can understand that's not a problem. I don't think Roy Keane would have wanted it as an interim, whereas John O'Shea saw it as an opportunity. But I think, you know, we've got the Euros coming up. We've got the end of the domestic season. We're not going to get in trouble in that word, are we? But, you know, it's the English domestic season finishing. You're going to have managers now moving. You're going to have international managers. Gus Poyet's been quite clever not tying himself into a job when another, maybe more high-profile job could be available to him.
I really think he's great. I don't want Gus Poyet at all. I mean, the way he went on, like, he's a player degree. He's out of contract now, and I know the Greek FA board is split, but I think the way he conducted himself when he was doing the Carlsberg 0-0, oh, yeah, you know, I'd love to manage Ireland. Hold on a second. You're the manager of Greece. That should be a major red flag for any employer or future employer of that guy.
I wouldn't read too much.
No, come on, you don't do that. No,
but that's a paid gig, isn't it? That's like saying to
Mourinho, but you don't. But you don't turn around and say no. I don't. Not a gig. I'm not about him advertising Carl. But what I mean, coming out and saying, oh yeah, I'd love to manage Ireland. Oh yeah, they're great.
You don't do that.
Come on.
You can do that. Of course you can. International football, you can. You can turn around and say, oh, the job's available and stuff, but he can say, I'm not interested, but I'd have no problem managing Ireland. I think that's been taken out. No, like if you could ask Jose Mourinho at a Q&A thing, would you like to manage
Portugal?
You know, Portugal one day, he'll go, oh yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, but that's different. Like, they didn't ask him if he wanted to manage Uruguay. They asked him, what should be interested in the Ireland job? He should have said, listen,
yeah, but he was Irish gig, wasn't he?
I do have a problem with it, because he should have just turned around and said, listen guys, you know, the Irish team's a wonderful team, you know, great history, blah 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 blah, even if it doesn't mean it, say, but I am right now an employee of the Greek FA, and I don't want to be disrespectful to those guys. I'm sure you understand, just I don't want to talk about that. And I would have thought, you know, there's a guy now with real sort of, what's the word?
Moral standing fiber.
Yeah, but he's not like that. He falls out with every job he's been in. He's always kind of leaves abruptly. Like, he kind of comes in, smashes the place, makes an impact, and off he goes. You know, and he does get some decent results. Sorry, the thing I was going to say about the Chris Hughton thing, you could sell the Chris Hughton thing because the way you said, well, Poirier failed at Greece, and, you know, Seidenhall, fair play to Seidenhall, he's done a very good job with Georgia. You could turn around and say, at least with Chris Hughton, you go, he's an Irish legend. A lot of people want him. There are people out there want, same people like yourself, like want Roy Keane as manager. But you could also then turn around where some people say, yeah, but he failed at Ghana. But then you could say, you could preface that and go, well, actually, no, to be fair, no. Ghana was a bit of a basket case. And to be fair, Nottingham Forest was a bit of a basket case. Look at, you know, you could put a spin. Like, you could turn around and go, well, this is why I see he's the guy for the job. And you could go, all right, I see where you're coming from. I don't agree with you, but I see where you're coming from. But as I said with Poirier, I don't see where you're coming from at all. He fits nothing that you're talking about. Long-term longevity doesn't fit that. He never sticks around anywhere. Integrity, I'd question his integrity, the way he goes on. He'd make us more aggressive, all right, 100%. Just things like that. I think the whole Poirier thing, I cannot see that being actually... I think the FEI sat back, being quiet, finger on the lips. Ustavel, agus na bhí caint, Martin. That's what... Do you know what that means?
Say nothing.
Be quiet. Yeah, pretty much. Close the mouth. Say nothing, close the mouth, something like that, anyway. You're probably more Irish than me. I've been over here, but anyway. But, you know, all of that, just, okay, let those lads do that. We're chipping away, and we know when this guy's contract is coming down or whatever, his NDA or no compete clause or whatever it was that Chris Hughton signed, and then they'll unveil him. And some people will be very happy with it, and I think it'd be very, I won't be, I'll tell you that now, but I think for the FEI, it'd be very, it's that safe pair of hands, you know, where you go, do you know what, we went with a bit of a maverick with the whole Stephen Kenny thing, but here's a guy, he's experienced, and if it doesn't work, people say, do you know what, it didn't work, but we understand why you went with him, so to speak. Does that make sense?
Like when Mick got appointed, you're pointing someone who's respecting Irish football. You're giving him a go. You know he's going to be set in his ways in some respects, but they're banking on bringing in the backroom coaches who they brought through their thing. That's what they're going to look to do. And that's why it might be you. And I think it will be an Irish manager. I think it has to be. For me, I think it's quite important, to be honest. So I've got no problem with Hughton getting it, as long as there's a bit of a plan, a succession plan, with perhaps John O'Shea coming in then and being part of that backroom staff. That's what I actually would like to see, without the kind of way it was done with Mick being the manager and then Kenny was guaranteed coming in afterwards. I think it's actually time now John O'Shea is in the second kind of the backup assistant manager role, in a sense. And I would like to see Hughton get it for that. I don't really want Poirier getting it. I didn't want Coleman getting it.
No.
But I think, in a way, you know, we've got these two games in June. Again, there's no real rush. Like, why don't, if they're not set on the right person, if it's not going to be Hughton now.
There is a bit of rush now.
Rip up the script, or whatever their plan is, because there seems to be no plan. If it's not going to be Hughton, either just give it to John O'Shea, or then be very patient and say, we'll give John O'Shea the games in June, because the first competitive game, September. Let's just crack on and wait and see who else becomes available at the end of the Championship Premier League season. Like, why have we got to rush then? If they're not 100% sure on getting it right.
You've got to rush, man. Not rush as such, but there's not that, like, there's not rushing. Sorry, there's rushing, and then there's, like, dragging your feet. And it's a case of you don't know what you're doing, and you're actually giving... now, if they appoint a manager in April, I go, fair enough. The whole March thing wasn't a big deal. It was a friendly. Yeah. John O'Shea's done. Look, John O'Shea, for what it was, did an okay job. I think this call, he has to get it now. If there's no one else, yeah, fair enough, out of desperation, but he has to get it now over the two games. No, that's nonsense. But if it goes past that, if we're now looking towards the June friendlies and we've got nobody, I would be like, okay, you guys have not got... I don't think that's the case.
Yeah. It would, like, be. Yeah, I haven't got a clue. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just looking here at Betfair. I'm telling you now, Martin. Chris Hughton, 33-1 at Betfair. Gus Poyas, 2-1 favourite. Willie Sagnol, 11-4. John O'Shea, 100-30. Lee Carnsley, 11-2. Roy Keane, 17-2. But I'm telling you now, Chris Hughton, 33-1. That I might put a cheeky tenner on that, you know. Do you know, I'm going to put a cheeky tenner on that when we go off. Yeah, okay. Tell you now. Anyway, we'll see what happens. If, by the way, if he is announced on the 12th, which was rumoured, we will have, we'll probably have a live episode, actually, to get your reaction, Lance and Roar live on the Facebook and the YouTube channel, because we always want to hear what you guys say. Actually, you know, I never did at the top of the podcast, Martin. I did not advertise our wonderful email address, which is pod@lansandroar.ie. That's pod@lansandroar.ie. If you want to contact us, say hello. If you want to tell us a story, tell us a joke, tell us how much you love us, it's pod@lansandroar.ie if you want to write into the program. Okay, let's move it on to the next topic. Well, actually, we're kind of still sticking with the boys in green here, really. The rankings. So the boys in green, they're... rankings released the other day, and we have shot up the rankings two places. That's the John O'Shea effect, Martin, isn't it? That is the real John O'Shea effect. He's shot us up the rankings two places, from 62nd to 60th. Here we go. We have, at least we're above Finland, who are in the Nations League. They're in 61st. They dropped down. We bumped them out of 60th. Out you go. South Africa is above us. Iraq is above us. I didn't think they were still playing, considering the absolute carnage of what's going on over there. They've had a civil war, they've had an invasion, they've had all sorts of things going on over there, but they're still higher than us in the rankings. And Slovenia have dropped down two places to 57th position. That is pretty depressing, Martin, isn't it? The Republic of Ireland, 60th place. Now, I do reckon that if any manager comes in, and it's kind of a shame we didn't have two easy friendlies, basically, we'd chew up those rankings. But with the Nations League coming up, with England, with Greece, you know, which I presume will still have Paye in charge, and Finland, who are no bad shakes either, I can't see us getting into the top 50.
No, like, I mean, the Hungary game obviously will be important. So the rankings are important, obviously.
Portugal,
Portugal as well will be, you know, preparing for a Euro, aren't they, at that stage? So. Yeah. You know, it depends how those teams kind of take it. And I think, you know, we might get a bit of a bounce factor if we deal with a manager. And we've had a good camp and kind of things like that. We might get some results there, which might help. But yeah, look, I'm just, you know, we were falling, weren't we? And now we're going the right way, Dave. Let's be positive. I'm Mr. Positive.
We got a two places.
We're going the right way.
There you go. Here's Iraq. Don't even have a fucking country. But yeah, they're ahead of us in Iraq. Yeah, it's positive. It's all great. They didn't even have a football league. I mean, I'm not being funny, but they had the whole thing, obviously, when Saddam got toppled like 20 years ago. And, 21 years ago, whatever it was. And then, of course, the Americans pulled out. Then he had ISIS going in there, destroying the place. You know, I don't know what it's like over there. I'm trying not to watch the news anymore. I'm like, it's just... I mean, fair play to them, by the way. Nothing against Iraq, but it's just... I think it's fair to say that... And it's not just happened yesterday, but I think it's fair to say that our international football has been run into the ground in Ireland. The senior team, it's absolutely dreadful at the moment. I know, like, there was two friendlies, obviously, Switzerland and Belgium, that we just had in March, and they were, I think it was this kind of home mentality that might be a little bit of a spillover from the Stephen Kenny era, because he probably thought by the time those friendlies came about that we'd be in a much better place than we were, because obviously they're some of them, I'd imagine they're booked well in advance. He thought, by the time we get there, like, we'll have qualified for the Euros, we've done this and everything's fine, you know. Whereas when you're in a bit of a low standing, you sort of get the smaller teams, give them a hiding, build confidence.
Those international friendlies, they're not. You'd be surprised, actually, because it's a little network UEFA.
Some of them can be last minute.
You know, and then they're working out their travel arrangements. You know, I think Belgium, for example, they probably took us as a. They got the invite from Wembley first, I'd imagine, and then went, who else can we go to? We're probably like that kind of view from some of these nations that, Ireland have got a date. We'll maybe be available to play them as well, second fiddle.
Yeah.
But New Zealand as well did it, didn't they? I think.
Yeah, I think was it like Jack's first game was supposed to be Bulgaria? I think it was. Did you know that? It wasn't supposed to be Wales. And they went to play England instead. It was something like that. Let me see if I can find out.
There must be like an international football kind of fixture god who just says, okay, well, oh, if you got them in the Euros now, well, oh, just we'll just swap you and Wales. You can,
yeah,
you've got them in the main thing now. You play them as a friendly and you do whatever you do.
Here's something I guarantee you a lot of people out there didn't know. I made a note of this. Yes, basically, Ireland was supposed to play Hungary and Wales was supposed to play Hungary. But Hungary pulled out of both games, so we ended up playing Wales. Mm. There you go. That was 1986. See, that's, you never know what you're going to get here on the state of play. But yeah, so Irish international football in a bit of a bad way. Don't know if you saw this, Martin. Bit of probably not. Well, I mean, I've just seen it myself, and a bit of a late addition. I'm going to fire a curveball at you here, but apparently the new away kit has been leaked, supposedly. Anyway. Do you want to have a look at it, Martin?
Yes, please. Yeah, I've not seen this.
Oh, here we go. Oh, it's from fuddyheadlines.com. It's obviously an animated version of it, but apparently that's what it's going to be. If you're listening to this on the audio podcast, well, you're shit out of luck. head over to YouTube. We love you, but head over to YouTube. Head over to the YouTube channel and you can see this. But yeah, it's very plain.
It's got a bit of the vibes of the away 2002 World Cup one. You know, the kind of bit underneath the arms. The bit under the arms, you know, that kind of different colour. Although it was blue, wasn't it? It's got a bit of that vibe about it. But I don't like that kind of gold on it, though, to be honest, if it is gold.
No, I'm just going to read. It's from Footy Headlines here. This is the post that we shared in our WhatsApp group. Ireland's new 2024 away shirt made by Castori was leaked by Colours of Football. It will be worn in the 26 World Cup qualifiers. Has a simple and clean look. It is mainly white with green logos and applications, like a big mucking sky sponsor across the front of it in the shops. But the collar Castori uses a green V collar with orange piping. God, it's like Alan Partridge wrote this. There's no pattern or graphic design on the Castori Ireland 2024 away shirt. Okay. Well, and it's got green shorts. The shorts do remind me of World Cup 2002. We don't know if that is going to be the kit, but you probably saw it here first, actually, if it is. So we'll see what that is. I suppose there's only one place to finish. We're supposed to do this on the last show, weren't we, Mark? We completely forgot about it. I had to redo an intro. So if you're watching the last episode of State of Play and you kind of see me there with bags under my eyes because it was very late, I had recorded an intro that we were supposed to do. We were supposed to talk about what we spoke about and Jason McAteer in Macedonia 27 years ago. And it was just afterwards we recorded, went, shit, we didn't do McAteer, did we? So we're going to do it now. So I think it's the 2nd of April, 1997. The Republic of Ireland plays FYR Macedonia. Don't want to get into trouble because somebody last year in a post up went, it's North Macedonia. I was like, it was called Macedonia. It's North Macedonia. How do you call it North Macedonia? Yeah, but it was called North Macedonia. I was like, fuck off. We do love our Roar Faithful, by the way. He wasn't part of Roar Faithful. He was just he's probably actually like a follower. So I put FYR, former Yugoslavic Republic of Macedonia. Here, but anyway, not only did we lose 3-2, it was a World Cup 98 qualifier in Skopje after taking the lead, no doubt. But Jason McAteer proceeded to probably commit the worst foul ever in a Republic of Ireland shirt. Have a look at this.
But look at McAteer's challenge here, and the foot was very high. Mind you, the other player hadn't left the ground, but it was a strange way to be going in for a high ball with a foot up like that. It's Jason McAteer who's gone. McAteer has been sent off. Showered. Mitko Stoichkovsky wanted to celebrate the greatest day in his footballing life and ends up being sent off.
I mean, that is... I remember watching that in the company of my grandfather. I think... I was watching upstairs. I can't remember. I was banned multiple times from watching any sort of football downstairs with the granddad because I used to make too much noise. Quite excitable. I remember just like it was a dreadful game and watching that going, wow. Something else, wasn't it?
Oh, it's unbelievable. Like, Jesus, ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, look, love the shirt. The result made the shirt iconic, but also that moment has to be honest because it's been replayed so much. And yeah, I mean, the leg at that angle, I mean, Jesus, it is outrageous, isn't it? Like, I know he's not left the ground, so it's not helped visually on that. And I know that George Hamilton kind of says that in the commentary, but you know, he the angle of the foot is like, he nearly took his head off of
the... I mean, what I would say is that, I mean, he does... Oh, I'll just have a quick look at it here again.
Look at McAteer's challenge here. And the foot was very high. Mind you, the other player hadn't left it.
He's not really...
That foot does not have to come out at that angle, the lead foot. It didn't.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, no. I'm sorry,
it was...
Could have killed the guy.
I'm not gonna, yeah. Yeah,
he could have killed, like, genuinely, he could have killed a guy. Like, it was it was, I remember just being shocked when I saw it. And then you know, when you don't see it for a number of years, because I didn't see it for years and years and years because we had no internet really at the time. And you know, I've sourced these videos out, from different sources, which I'm not going to divulge. You know, I was asked that question, say, like, you know, where'd you get it from? I'm not telling you, sorry, it's a magical Lansdowne Road. Some are easily available, obviously, but others you have to really dig for. But anyway, that's all I'll say about that. But you know, when you look back and go, I need to see that again. Was it as bad as I thought it was? And when I saw it for the first time in years, like a few years ago, I was like, wow. But I remember Al McLaughlin got the first goal, didn't he? And then David Kelly, I think, got a consolation. We were 3-1 down, two penalties. Terry Phelan, wasn't it? He punched the ball away. And then, that was a disastrous 1990 World Cup 98 campaign. But anyway, we're going to leave it there anyway. Thank you very much, Martin, for coming on here. And thank you very much for watching out there. This is the State of Play. We are very quick fire and roundy uppy. We're not going to be around this Sunday, I don't believe, Martin, are we?
No, we're not. No,
we are going to try and get you a live episode. During the week, it might be a bit later, but do stay tuned to the L socials on Lansdowne Roar and Lansdowne Road, the Facebook and the Twitter. We'll keep you updated. Real life getting in the way, folks. I do apologize. But it's... Why aren't you on this Sunday?
I'm going to Old Trafford.
You're going to Old Trafford?
To give a nice traditional... You can guess how I'm going to wave off Jurgen Klopp on his last visit to Old Trafford.
Going to tell him he's number one, Martin, yeah?
I don't know. I was talking to someone the other day about it, and because he's actually meeting me there, he's a Liverpool fan. He was at Anfield the other day as well. So he was saying, I said, what do you think is going to happen? Like, Jurgen Klopp, will we see the free fist pump things? And I said, possibly we will, because he'll probably do it to the ref, the assistant referee, and a linesman in the course of the action when he's having a go at all of them, because he's such a horrible person.
But you know what, Martin? You'd love to have him as your manager, wouldn't you?
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would.
He had his opportunity.
Oh, yeah. 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 He league title, possibly another league title. Who knows? Pushing probably one
lockdown
of the greatest.
Didn't count. Lockdown didn't count.
Oh, piss off. It was completely out of sight. There's no asterisk there. My prediction is I'm a bit nervous, but if we do beat United, I think we'll win the league. But the only thing is, United have absolutely nothing to play for. That was shown the other day. They're still a complete mess of a club. And I don't think the manager's going to be around. And you know,
no.
But they could stop or put a massive dent in Liverpool's title hopes there. Liverpool just have to be perfect now and win every game. Try not to drop points every game now, because City are up for it, Arsenal up for it. And if they do managed to do United at Old Trafford, I think they'll win the league. But I don't know. I don't know. Look at the FA Cup game. Liverpool should have been out of sight in that. But anyway, we shall see. But anyway, we will be back next week at some point. We're going to have more state of plays. And look, if something does happen, if there's any more breaking news, we'll always bring it to you here on Lanzer & Roar. So do stay tuned. Anyway, I'm David Dunn. He is Martin Prendergast. This is the state of play. We're out of here. Good night. God bless. And come on, you boys in green.